Good evening, all. It's great to be here from Summerside and to be visiting you all in person. This is my first time in this building since the whole pandemic thing started, so it's great to see you all and everything in person. It's great. And I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through what will be shared tonight and that it will be a great blessing and a good reminder for us all, myself included. So if you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and we are going to read the whole thing starting at verse 1 to kick things off tonight. Psalm 90 and verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, establish the work of our hands. So we'll stop there. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. But before we continue, let's just go before him in prayer once again. Father in heaven, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Father, thank you so much for these reminders, Lord, of our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came to this world, Lord, we who were your enemies. He came to this world and lived among us and went to that cross and died there for our sins, paying the penalty, enduring your wrath in our place, Lord. We were the ones that merited your wrath, Lord God, because of our sins and all the wrongs that we had done. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ bore it all in our place. How great is your love, your mercy, and your grace towards undeserving sinners like us, Lord. Thank you that we can gather together like this and be reminded of these truths, Lord. As a brother said earlier, it's so easy to forget things. And that's why we need these reminders, Lord, of your truth. We thank you for the scriptures, Lord, that are filled with your truths, Lord, and remind us of who you are and what you have done, Lord. Father, thank you for the salvation that you wrought. Father, when all hope seemed lost, the Lord Jesus came and died there, paying the penalty for us. And now because of him, we are forgiven. We are made new. We are your children, Lord. We are no longer children of the devil, but your children, Lord. We thank you for this. So, Father, as we gather here tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work and speak through the thoughts that will be shared to everyone that is here and that is live streaming this as well. And, Father, if there's anything said in error or that's incorrect, that it would be forgotten and cast aside, Lord, and that only what is true to the Scriptures and true to you would stick in the hearts of those who are here and in my own heart as well. Father, thank you for your great love towards undeserving sinners such as us, and bless our time together. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, to open, let me ask a few questions to think about. In all these crazy times that we've seen lately, have you ever found yourself not understanding God sometimes? Have his ways ever not made any sense to you? Maybe even not now, but in the past. Or for that matter, have you ever had doubts about him creep into your mind on a bad day? And just had one of those days where you really struggle with walking by faith and not by sight and believing in someone you cannot see. Well, brothers and sisters, If there's ever any doubts or questions about God like that that arise or start surfacing in your head or in your heart, sometimes you just need to remind yourself of the truth. Sometimes you just need reminders, don't you? I know I need that from time to time. And that's one reason why it's so important to stay in the Word of God as believers, to keep in the Word of God, to read it, to remind yourself of it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24 even says this, "Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you." If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. So if you ever find yourself wrestling with doubts or struggling with questions, come to the Lord. Tell Him what you're thinking, what you're wrestling with, and then read His words from the Scriptures. Let them sink into your heart. Let them speak to your heart and your mind. Let what you have heard from the very beginning abide in you. Even though maybe some time has passed since the beginning in your case, well, remind yourself. Let the truths of the gospel that saved you, let the words that you heard from the very instant that you were saved, and the words that you've heard ever since, let them stay alive in you. Keep them alive in you. That's what abide means. It means remain and stay alive in you. Don't let it die. Don't let them slip away. Don't let what you've heard from the beginning be forgotten. Because in order for something to stay alive, you have to feed it. And as a believer, you have to feed on the Word of God. Spend time reading it, studying it, memorizing it. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with each other. All these things in order to abide in the Son and the Father. So if you're in this boat tonight somehow, wrestling with questions, struggling with doubts, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you through what will be shared from this psalm. And that will be a great reminder for you, for me, and for us all. So yeah, the plan tonight is to look at this psalm. That's the plan, but I guarantee there's no way we're going to cover the whole thing tonight because there's a ton of stuff in here, and one message alone is not going to do this psalm justice, I'll tell you that. But ultimately, there are two truths in particular that we're going to focus on tonight. That's a tongue twister, two truths. Try saying that 10 times really, really fast. Anyway, two truths that we're going to focus on tonight from this psalm. Number one is the permanence of God. The permanence of God. In other words, the truth that God is everlasting and eternal. That's the first one. He is permanent. And number two, the frailty of man. The fact that we are small. We have a beginning and an end. And compared to God, we are frail. So the permanence of God and the frailty of man. Two truths that are going to be compared and contrasted quite a bit in the words of Psalm 90 here. But quickly, before we dive in, note the first few words of this psalm. How amazing is it that this psalm was written by Moses from the Old Testament? Because truly, if there was ever anyone who saw with his own eyes just how big and majestic God is and how little he was in comparison, it would definitely have to have been Moses. Think of all the things Moses saw in his time. He saw the Lord part the Red Sea before his eyes. He heard the Lord's booming voice from Mount Sinai and saw the glory descend upon the top of that mountain. And he also spent days upon days on that mountaintop right in the presence of God himself. But even still, after everything Moses had seen, and despite the great calling and the responsibilities that the Lord had given to him, what are we told about Moses' character in the Scriptures? Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth." So while Moses was definitely wise and knowledgeable, mighty in words and deeds, he is called, he was also a very meek man. He was a humble man. And as a meek and humble man, one thing this guy would have definitely understood very well is that God is very, very big and he himself is very, very small. And truly, when you understand that truth and believe it with all your heart, that God is big and you are small, it really has a humbling effect on you, doesn't it? And that's the goal tonight. That each of us, myself included, would be reminded that God is God and we are not. That He is very, very big and we are very, very small. And when it comes to him and his ways, sometimes you got to check your own understanding and your own ways of thinking at the door and trust in him no matter what happens and no matter what comes your way, no matter how tough the times get and no matter how good the times get for that matter too. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, that was the intro. Let's begin. Psalm 90 and verse 1. And I absolutely love the wording of this verse, by the way, Psalm 90 and verse 1. Because if there's one thing that everyone desires, it's to have a place to call home, isn't it? A place to live, to take shelter, to be secure, and to dwell. Everyone desires that. I remember growing up as I was getting older, as a teenager, I couldn't wait to leave my parents' house and then to have my own place to call home. I couldn't wait for that. But everyone desires that, to have a place to call home, a place to dwell in. I remember this quote from a movie I saw a while back. If more people valued home above gold, this world would be a merrier place. There's a lot of truth to that in a sense. And with that verse in mind, that little quote takes on a whole new meaning. Verse 1 says here, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. In other words, Lord, you have always been our home. This ties right into the permanence of God. God is and always has been our home. There was never once a time when God was not the dwelling place for mankind. This has been the case for every single generation that has and ever will exist. And it is just as true today as it was when Adam was first formed in the Garden of Eden. He's the dwelling place for all mankind. Now, alas, while everyone today is not a child of God, unless they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact remains, he is the dwelling place, and he is meant to be the dwelling place for us. He's meant to be our home. We were created to dwell with him. That was the plan. But then sin got in the way, didn't it? And now the only way to come back home, to be his child, to dwell with him, is to have your sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on that cross for you. And the Lord's desire has always been that he would dwell with you and you would dwell with him. He is our creator. We are his creation. We were made to dwell with him, to be with him. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell with them. I am the Lord their God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So tonight, your real home is not the house in which you may live in right now, or the apartment, or whatever it is. Your real home cannot and will not ever be found in this world. Your home and my home is with the Lord, in his presence, in his house, with him. And although we cannot see him yet, one day we will see him face to face, and we will be home forever. Home is not where the heart is, it's where the Lord is, in his presence. So to the one sitting here tonight who has doubts in their hearts and their mind about the Lord or about God, even maybe at this moment, remember and rest in the truth that you are his creation. He made you. You're not some accident that took place when nothing exploded trillions of years ago or whatever it is. The Lord made you. He fashioned you. He created you. He loves you and he knows you. The very hairs of your head are numbered, for crying out loud. And since he's your creator, with him is where you belong. And this has always been the case, and it always will be. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4. For you, the Lord, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall. John chapter 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So true. All right, so that's verse 1 of Psalm 90. And now we go on to verse 2, which also talks about God's permanence. And it reads like this. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And okay, I confess, I love the wording to this verse as well, as much as I love the first one. So if you're ever talking to someone and they ask you, where did God come from? Well, the answer is right here, folks. Before the mountains were made, he is. Before the earth was formed, he is. I am that I am, he once said to Moses. The Lord existed before everything and everyone around us that we can see with our own eyes ever did. And he still exists even now today in the crazy times that we're in. And he will always exist even after everything that we see around us and everyone that we see around us is no more. He is. It's not just that he was or that he will be. He is and he always is. And so too are his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, he said. So too is his son Jesus. So too is the Holy Spirit. He is. So truly, before time began, and even after time is no more, from eternity past to eternity future, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, just like the Lord Jesus says in the book of Revelation. There was never a time, and there never will be a time, when the Lord is not the Lord. And not only has he always existed, we're also given an idea here in this verse of just how big he is compared to you and me. But I tell you, we think we're so important sometimes, don't we? That the world revolves around us, and that our own ways of thinking and our reasoning are the be-all, end-all, as it were. But the scary thing is that sometimes our own thoughts and our own understandings and our own ways of thinking, they can make us question or even doubt the Word of God. It's crazy sometimes how much we put emphasis on what we think, what we understand, what we know, what we feel today, rather than what the Word of God says. Sin can really give us a puffed up view of ourselves, can it? Where we think we know best, but stop there for a moment. And think of just how big some of the mountains on this planet are. Think how deep the ocean is on certain parts of this planet. And then think about the one who made all that come to pass. The one who created it all and fashioned it all. Let's go one step further. God didn't just create the mountains and the deep oceans. He spoke. And by his words, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his word, everything around us was made. And not only that, all the galaxies, all the stars, everything around us, ourselves included, were created by a permanent, majestic, and unchanging God. He made it all. Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by his breath, all their host. So next time you start doubting what God says, or maybe even his very existence, and start trusting more in what you yourself are thinking and what you feel, shift your perspective and remember that compared to God, compared to him, you are small. Compared to the galaxies, we're not even a speck of dust, even our planet. It's like this guy, this preacher Louis Giglio said, I'm not trying to make you feel small right now. I'm trying to help you realize that you are small. And yet, you may be small. We may be small, not even a speck of dust compared to the rest of the universe. But we are loved with a really big love by the really big God of the universe. How is it that we are so small compared to the rest of the universe, but yet we are loved so much by God, the one who made it all? Psalm 33 and verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. So given just how big the Lord is and how small we are, should we not put more stock in what he says and what he thinks as opposed to what we think and feel on a bad day? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. The Lord is revealed in creation around us. The Lord is revealed in our conscience inside of us. But even before creation came into being, the Lord is God. Even after creation is no more, the Lord is God. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Like I said, I highly doubt we'll get through this whole psalm tonight, but let's press on and see what else we can find. Two verses down. Now we come to verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says here, "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man.'" Okay, back in Genesis, the Lord made Adam from the dust of the ground, right? And then one day, because of sin, Adam returned to the dust again whenever he died. The Lord even promised this back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 after they sinned. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So yeah, all because of sin. This is the natural order of things right now. Adam was made from the dust, and he returned to the dust again whenever he died. And like ourselves, you are made from the dust, and for that matter, you are dust, as Psalm 103 and verse 14 says, and then one day your body will return to the dust again too. And we're also reminded here in this verse that only the Lord himself, only he knows that exact time and that exact moment when each of us will die. And this verse also tells us he's just as capable of bringing life to an end with one command, if he so chooses. So while verse 1 reminded us that the Lord is our eternal home, our dwelling place, and verse 2 reminds us that he has always existed, verse 3 reminds us that he holds our breath. Our life is literally in his hands. Daniel chapter 5 and part of verse 23 says this, "But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored." Every breath that you take is from the Lord, and that's a good thing to remember. It's a gift he gives to us. That's a gift. So while your body is made from dust and will return to the dust someday, let's not forget, though, that your soul, on the other hand, your soul will live on in eternal life or eternal death afterwards, after your body returns to the dust. And which of those two destinations you wind up in, eternal life or eternal death, is dependent of whether or not you die in your sins, and if you have accepted the free gift of salvation that the Lord offers through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So one day you will die, and I will die, and only the Lord knows when that will be. But brothers and sisters, take comfort tonight in the truth that yes, just as the Lord knows when you'll die, and just as he's capable of causing someone to die with one command, the Lord is also just as capable of bringing someone back to life again with just one command, isn't he? Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, God revealed in the flesh, standing outside that tomb one day and shouting just one command, "Lazarus, come forth," he said. And instantly, a man who had been dead for days was able to defy the natural order of things and come back to life again, return to life from the dust. This is what the Lord delights in, bringing life from death, making all things new, making someone who is dead in their sins alive again through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the light. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, one sinner who comes to life again. So hallelujah for the fact that the Lord God is long-suffering and gracious towards us who are dust. The Lord does not simply return people to the dust without giving them a chance to know him and be saved. First, the Lord is long-suffering, gracious, compassionate, full of mercy, and his patience is far greater and far stronger than ours will ever be. And why is that? Well, as verse 4 of this psalm reminds us, the Lord is not bound by time, is he? And this is the fourth truth from this psalm that ties into God's permanence. He is beyond time itself. 1,000 years in his sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. And this is echoed in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 8 to 9. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All the things we use ourselves to describe time, they have no application to God whatsoever. He's outside of it. 1,000 years is a lot for you and I. The world has changed a lot in just 10 years, for that matter, or in our case, just 10 months. 1,000 years is a lot, but for the Lord, it's nothing. Because he inhabits or dwells in eternity. So truly in comparison, our lives here must feel like a small blip or even a sigh as far as he's concerned. Psalm 103 even adds, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. It's quite the contrast, isn't it? Quite the contrast. But anyway, that's the first four verses here. And now we come to the next few verses, verses 5 to 10. And this is where the focus of the psalm shifts a little bit. From the permanence of God to the frailty of man, to the frailty of us. And verses 5 and 6 again, along with verse 10 here, they remind us again that while the Lord is outside of time and he exists from everlasting to everlasting, as far as we're concerned, as far as our time on this planet goes, our time is short. It's numbered. And in many ways, it can be brutal and difficult and challenging sometimes. Verse 10 even says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Our human lives today, they often don't last much longer than 70 to 80 years. Although there are exceptions. My grandfather, he just turned 95 this year. He's a specimen, I'll tell you that. But our lives are like a dream in comparison to eternity. Like grass that looks great in the morning and during the day, but then in the evening it fades away. And yeah, people live for a time, and then they die, and then their children repeat the cycle, and on it goes. And while there are good times in this life, there are plenty of hard and difficult and trying times as well as we live. But while the Lord God will always exist, as far as our lives on this planet are concerned, we will not. We have a time to be born, and then one day, as we talked about, there'll be a time when we die, and none of us can escape that faith. It's coming. Sometimes it even comes sooner or later than you would think. And that's why you need to think about the ever-approaching eternity that awaits you after death. Because you never know when it's going to come. And while your time here on this planet is temporary, yeah, one other thing the Bible makes very clear, your soul will live on after you die in either eternal destruction or eternal life. Matthew 25, verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 16, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, a small blip in comparison to the rest of the galaxy, and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? The Lord gives, yes, our life on this planet is temporary, but the Lord gives eternal life, everlasting life, to those who put their faith and trust in him for salvation. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And speaking of God's wrath, it's talked about here in a few of these verses in Psalm 90, verse 7. We are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. Verse 9, all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Verse 11, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? The wrath of God is not a comfortable topic, is it? It's not talked about a lot these days, especially in the modern church, which is a real shame. Because, everyone, the wrath of God is not something to be ignored or dismissed. Without it, we would have no hope, would we? It was because of God's wrath against our sins. That was one reason, as we talked about, is because of his wrath that our Savior hung on that cross in the first place for us. He bore the full force of that wrath against our sins for us. And speaking of sin, verse 8 reminds us here, no sin is ever hidden from God. He sees all of it. He knows all of it. Even the secret sins, the ones we're ashamed of the most, the Lord knows those too. They're illuminated in his presence. He knows all of your sins. He knows all of my sins. And had you or I been the ones hanging on that cross to bear God's wrath against our sins, these verses remind us that we would have been consumed or destroyed by his wrath. We couldn't do it. If you yourself stood to bear the full force of God's wrath and his anger against sin, it'd be like dry wood being thrown to a raging inferno. Instantly and utterly consumed. Think of Aaron's sons. They were consumed by the fire of God's wrath back in the Old Testament because of their sin. That's what would have happened. But the Lord Jesus Christ, not us, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hung there on that cross. And we'll never understand how he did this, but this is what happened. In just 3 dark hours, he bore the full wrath of God for your sins and mine in 3 hours. The only one who could endure the wrath of God without being fully consumed by it was God himself. And out of his love for you and I, he willingly came down and bore that in our place. The wrath of God is not something to be taken lightly. But what did verse 1 of this psalm talk about already? God is also our dwelling place, isn't he? He's our home, our safety from the storm. How remarkable is it that the one whose wrath could completely consume us in a heartbeat is also the very one who is our home and our dwelling place. Even in the Old Testament, Moses would go into God's presence and stay there for days. Even Joshua would go into God's presence and not want to leave. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11 talks about that. And today, if you are a child of God, forgiven and made new by the blood of Jesus Christ, he is your dwelling place too. And when you are in him, there is no fear of his wrath against your sin anymore. Why? Your sins have already been forgiven, washed away by the blood of Christ. There is no more condemnation for you anymore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live or dwell with him. Just like we talked about. And this is the truth. And like I talked about, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He does not want to give us what our sins deserve. That's why his son bore what our sins deserve in our place. How great is his love and compassion towards us. So while our lives here on this planet are a mere blip compared to his eternity, someday, we will inhabit or dwell in eternity with him forever and ever. Amen. The frail man will be changed and will someday dwell with the permanent God. So with time getting very far away from us, and as we wrap up tonight, what can we take from all this in closing? Well, I talked earlier about having doubts about God and questions about his ways. And as far as that is concerned, I think Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 7 sum this up pretty well. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear God and turn away from evil. True wisdom is not found in knowing the answers to everything, nor is it found in getting all kinds of education and experience. True wisdom starts from realizing that God is God and you are not. True wisdom comes from understanding that God is very, very big and you are very, very small. True wisdom comes from fearing him. It's the beginning of wisdom, it's as it says in the scriptures. And this kind of wisdom, true wisdom, will keep you from getting puffed up. It will also keep sin and doubts and questions from tormenting your heart and your mind and enable you to just trust in Him and in His words on the good days and the bad. And speaking of days, true wisdom comes from numbering our days, as verse 12 says here in this psalm. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. In other words, may we remember that our time here is short. And each day could possibly be our last. We don't know. Only the Lord knows. So why not live with that attitude, as if this could be your last day, and make the most of what little time you have and give it over to the Lord? Because again, while the Lord will exist forever and ever, we have a set fixed time on this planet. And every day in which we are alive is a gift from the Lord to us. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And we've looked a lot at the permanence of God, the bigness of God, and the frailty of man and the smallness of man tonight, and how someday the frail man or the small man will be able to dwell with the permanent or the big God. But how incredible is it, folks, one other thing, how incredible is it, folks, that the permanent God became a frail man? I use the word frail loosely here, of course, because we're talking about Jesus here. But the one who is not bound by time came down into time. The one whose wrath could consume us in an instant came down and bore that very wrath on the cross for us. And this is why the Lord Jesus could not have been just a mere man with his own sins to deal with, for then he too would have been consumed by the wrath of God hanging on that cross. But hallelujah, the Lord Jesus is far more than just a mere man. He's the Word made flesh, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation, fully man, yet fully God, and apart from sin. And again, in 3 hours, he endured the rage of the wrath of God for you and for me. And to think that because he came to this world as a man, the Lord can emphasize with you and I. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And again, to think that although our mortal lives here, our human lives here, are nothing but a blip compared to eternity, we are still loved with an everlasting love by the one who inhabits eternity. And his love for you tonight, his love for you, the Lord's love for you, goes far beyond the deepest and most passionate love you could ever find with someone else on this planet. Psalm 139 and verse 17, how precious are your thoughts, O God, to me. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Psalm 103 and verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. There's that phrase again, everlasting to everlasting. But this time, it's talking about the Lord's love for you and for me, and that's pretty cool. All right, so I know I only touched the tip of the iceberg of this psalm. There's still a lot more in here, but I hope these thoughts were encouraging tonight and a great reminder for each of you and for me. They were for me while I was preparing, I'll tell you this. But to sum up quickly one last time, let's remember that although we are frail, sinful people who could easily be consumed by God's wrath and who are only here for a short and numbered time, we are loved with an everlasting love by the very same permanent God who holds our breath, who is beyond time itself, and who is our eternal home. And someday, if you're a child of God, you will dwell with him in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we can come to you, that we can come humbly before your throne of grace in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, to think that you were so big, so mighty, so infinite, and yet you thought of you think of us. Your thoughts towards us are innumerable. We who are mere specks, Lord God, and yet you love us and value us in ways that we could never possibly understand, that you delight, you long for us to dwell with you. We who had turned our backs upon you, but yet you sent your Son here to this one, to this small little blue planet in the midst of a massive galaxy. Your Son came, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And yes, he did go to that cross, Father, and he died there paying for our sins. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. We worship you. We thank you for all that you've done. Thank you that you are unchanging. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are permanent, God. You have no beginning and no end. You are. You are holy, 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 Lord. Thank you that though we are small, you love us. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we have, that we could remember these things. Thank you for your word that you've given to us to remind us of these things on the bad days. Thank you for the fact that your word is alive, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us when we read it and remind us of these things. Remind us of who you are and what you've done, Lord. And remind us that we can trust in you no matter what. No matter what. So, Father, thank you for this time. Pray that there's anyone here who has not yet put their faith and trust in Christ, that they would do so even at this very moment and come to you in repentance and accept the forgiveness that you offer. And for those of us who have, I pray, Father, that we will continually remind ourselves of these truths, Lord, especially when times get tough. And thank you, Lord, that you are long-suffering and compassionate and merciful towards us. So, Father, now as we depart, take us home in safety. And thank you for this time, Lord. Bless everyone who was able to be here and to listen in. In Jesus' name, amen.